Good morning, Modern Served Leaders, and welcome to the 17th February edition of the Community Group Leaders Preparation Podcast. My name is Bill, and I am so happy that you're with me today to talk about my favorite topic, community groups at WordServe. A couple of admin items to cover up front, then we'll jump into the lesson. First, I want you to consider thinking about how your groups would look in springtime if you had to create two groups out of your one. That means that you would be looking to see who might be the guide, who might be the host, and who might be members of that group. Now, granted, most groups, if we split them right down the middle, might be a little too small, actually. So we also want to ask people to consider who they could see bringing with them in the spring. In fact, if you haven't already, it would be a great time to ask people to begin praying for people who are they know in their lives that could use a community group, and then invite them and see what it's all about. Hopefully, if not next spring, by next fall, we'll have more people interested. And of course, we'll need more leaders trained. So on that note, the second admin item is apprentice training. I want to put together some formal training, not complicated, but just so that we have the bases covered. A little checklist that people can use to get checked out to be WordServe leaders. It will cover all the essential skills that we think we need to know in order to lead a group well. Because I like people to succeed, and I want them to have the skills that they need to run a group well and not feel anxious or nervous about it. So, here's where you come in. I would love to hear from you what you think are the bare essentials that someone needs to know to run a group well. Either it can be your what you wish you knew, or what you found most beneficial, or just thinking for a minute, what does it take to really make a good group? And then give me your feedback. Is it how to lead a discussion? Is it how to organize a calendar? Is it some other skill that you've found that's been very helpful to you? And just let me know, and I'll take all these ideas and I'll make a very brief checklist that we can use to help educate people. So let me know whether it's via telephone call, text message, email, back of the napkin, paper airplane during service, whatever your favorite delivery method is, but let me hear your feedback. The third admin item is I want to talk just briefly about our website, the Community Group Scoop. I encourage people to go on there for a couple of reasons. Obviously, we can link a lot of extra stuff, like, for example, this last post has a link to the book 24-6, which was referenced in both the sermon and the community group study guide. But it's also an opportunity if people out there have good resources they've come across. Maybe they've read a great book about the Sabbath, or maybe they read an article or know of a website that would be helpful to other people as they're trying to manage crazy lives. Whatever that is, that's their opportunity to help share with the WordServe family. And they can do it in a couple of ways. Either they can comment directly on the website and provide a link, or they can email me, and I will make sure that their link makes it to that lesson, and I will let people know. But with so many smart people out there doing so many great things, it would be great to share resources so that we can do this thing called Connecting Faith to Life, and help each other do that better. All right, on to the lesson plan. This week, if you have a chance to pull out your leader guide and look at it as we talk, it might make more sense. Up front, I will tell you this lesson could be very confusing for people. Here's why. They may ask, why are we talking about freedom when I thought we were covering how to create wider margins or more breathing room in my life? Now here's the bottom line on the freedom issue in this lesson. Freedom allows choice. And choice can either create margins or take margins away. How well we choose will tell us a lot about our relationship with God. For example, are we packing our schedules so tight that we have no time to help others? It's not that we don't want to help, we just don't have time to help. Maybe our choices have packed our calendar a little too tight. Or are we stretching our budget so thin that we don't have money to help anybody else? We run out of month before we run out of money, or money out of month, whichever case may be. But we stretch ourselves so thin that we just literally cannot give. No matter how much we want to, we can't. So maybe if we made different choices with our money, we would have extra margin available to help people. The kicker is, this is different for everyone. There's no right answer. So our goal for this lesson is to simply raise awareness of how our choices affect our margins and get us to think about how we can use our choices to create enough margin to be able to help when and where we're needed. The other comment I would like to make is in the question up front that asks what question do you still have about creating margin, keep those unanswered questions coming. Keep letting me know what people are struggling with or don't feel they have resolved, because that's a huge benefit to Nolan and I to be able to take those unresolved questions and turn them into future preaching and teaching series. If we connect with people's felt needs, then we will connect at a deeper level and maybe make a difference. Otherwise, we'll just start talking about stuff that may or may not apply to our lives. So I would love to hear what people are still struggling with so that we can plan ahead. Also, keep the great points, any insights that your group has, keep those coming too. You can share them on the website. You can share them with me, because the insights that come from the groups are very, very rich. They're out of a life of experience and a life of struggling to do this right. And other people may benefit from that. So let's share the wealth as much as possible. All right, on into the deeper part of the lesson. I'm going to talk a little bit about freedom, a little bit about choice, and then share some practical examples. Let's start with freedom. First, if you keep your study guides, if you can look all the way back to October 28th, 2012, we talked about freedom already a little bit. It was the freedom from the power of sin. And are we freed from something or are we freed for something? There's a great discussion there. But this discussion is not the same. It's the same text, but from a different angle. And the different angle here is not to get too bogged down in the issue of freedom, but recognize that the real issue that we're talking about tonight is the issue of choice. And choice is a reflection of where our hearts are, where our priorities lie. And why do we emphasize this? Well, because we can't really always control what circumstances happen to us in life. What we can choose is our priorities. What we can choose is one of the things that we can control. So what we're trying to do is be proactive in how we approach our time and our money by addressing what we can control. Also, because humans in general have an amazing ability to choose ourselves over anything else. You can see it throughout Scripture. You can see it in your children's lives. If you pause long enough and look in the mirror, you can probably see it there too. I know I can. And so our natural proclivity is to choose for ourselves over others. But that's exactly against what both Peter and Paul in the Scriptures we're studying this time around say to do with our freedom. Our freedom should be for others. So we have this massive tension that we need to manage throughout this lesson. And I don't mean massive as in it's going to be a difficult task, but we need to recognize that this struggle goes on every day for everyone. And the tension is this, that nowhere does it say, or nowhere does God say, that he's against signing our kids up for activities or developing them as individuals or having family time or activities that we do together. That's nowhere in Scripture. The tension that we have to manage is moderation. How much is too much? How much is enough for self versus how much do we save for others? Now, on the other hand, you may think I'm making a plug for serving every time the church doors are open or everything like that. Again, moderation is the key. We can go too far and exhaust ourselves in service to others. So it's an equally fair question to say how much is too much for others. Again, we're managing a tension between how much do I use for myself and my family, how much do I use for others. And I think there's a balance there. Too often we go too far to one extreme or the other, and we miss out on all that God could have us to have. Another thing, we just talked about Sabbath and getting rest and renewal. So clearly God asks us to spend a little bit of that time in recharging our batteries. So a little bit of that is self-focused. So you can see how there's a lot of aspects of trying to balance time and money for self and family versus time and money for others. That's the choice that we make. So practical examples. And this is where I think the real strength of this lesson could come from after we realize that these are all choices that we make. If ever a lesson screamed opportunity for practical examples, this is it. How do other people manage this tension? who do you know, or who do people in your group know, that do this successfully, that manage the tension between time and money, self and others? You can also learn from failures what causes people to go overboard in one direction or another. Or you may know somebody that has just completely dropped out of the world and is focused on self. What caused that? You may know other people that have gone so far overboard the other way that they've served themselves into exhaustion and burnout. What caused that? How come they didn't renew? So you can learn from positive examples, you can learn from negative examples, but I'll bet if you query your group long enough, everybody can come up with some examples of someone they know, and then you can analyze what caused them to either be successful or not. And you can walk away with some great lessons that way. I would also encourage you to have folks come up with some specific action steps and things they'd like to accomplish. Not just, I need to spend more time with my family. Well, what does that look like? How often? What will you do together? Be as specific as possible, because the more specific you are in planning, the more likely it will happen. Or same with safeguards. How will I prevent myself from burning myself out? Maybe I'll limit how many times I serve per month, or I will make sure that for each time of service, I have a time of rest and relaxation, or however it is that works for you. Like I said, it's different for everyone, but encourage them to be as specific as possible up front so that they're more likely to actually carry through. Have them put a timeline on things as well. I may have the best idea in the world, but if I never have a timeline to it, it's just always going to be an unrealized dream. You got to have a timeline to get things going sometimes. So encourage them to put very specific steps, action steps, things they can do, and timelines with it. And I want to pause for a moment and just talk about the idea of this website I've listed in the leader guide called futureme.org. Futureme.org is a place that anybody can go to. It doesn't cost anything. You can sign up for free, and you can write yourself an email and tell it when you want it delivered. The website will even tell you when you get there that they've already got emails for people who have sent things they want back in 2060. So it's a really cool opportunity to write yourself and get it delivered to yourself in the future. Now let me tell you why I think that is such a cool idea. This comes from a practical experience of mine. When I was a senior in high school, I went to this thing called the National Leadership Conference. They pulled seniors from high schools and sent us to a three-week intensive summer outdoor experience. And on one of the last nights there, they told us to write a letter to ourselves that would be delivered in 18 months. You know, these folks knew that in 18 months we would have graduated school, we would have either gone on to try to find our way in life, or some of us may have gotten into college or other trade schools. And so it's a very turbulent time in life. They asked us to write down, what do you think your greatest fear is? What do you think your greatest obstacles will be? Where do you see yourself in 18 months? And then they gave us the evening to write a letter to ourselves. At the end of the evening, they collected all the letters, and they said, you will receive this letter back in 18 months. And I didn't think a thing of it. I thought, yeah, whatever, right? They'll forget. Sure enough, I went on to graduate, by the grace of God, high school. I entered into college and was past my first semester when, imagine my surprise, a letter in my own handwriting showed up. And it was the most powerful experience as I read that letter to see what I thought was such a big deal as a senior in high school. Those obstacles, half of them never came to be. What I thought my biggest challenges would be, I had already overcome them. And it was very encouraging and uplifting for me to see that I could face a lot in life. The other cool thing was when it talked about what your goals were, it was a good reminder of why I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And it was also a good reminder that maybe I had slacked off a little bit and it was time to recommit myself. Same thing, and I would encourage, especially in the use of the last page of the study guide, what they need to do more of and less of, what they need to start and stop doing. If they would use that as a template and email themselves very specific action steps and timelines and set the return date for I don't know, a year, 18 months from now, they'll get an email back with all their aspirations, their hopes, and their dreams, and they can compare how they're doing with how they thought they might do. And it can be a very positive and uplifting experience. It can also be a little depressing, too, if you haven't made progress. But sometimes that's the kick in the pants we need to get going. At any rate, you don't have to use it, but I would encourage it. You can set the timeline for anything you want, whether it's the end of the semester or the end of the decade or the end of the Mayan calendar, for that matter. However you want. But I throw that out there because it was just a very powerful and formative experience in my life. One of the differences this time around is that we're going to ask the entire congregation to use that last page, whether they're in a community group or not. It doesn't matter. We're going to ask everybody to do this. So in a crux, that's the lesson. It's really not so much about the freedom as it is about the choice that freedom creates. And our choices will either create margin or not. So in essence, that's the crux of the lesson. What we do with our freedom. And what we do with our freedom speaks volumes of our relationship with God. Does God want us to serve? Absolutely. Does God want us to burn out? Absolutely not. But what we do in our Christian walk, it has to be more than just simply duty, as in the law. That's what we're free from, right? I've heard it put this way. No one becomes a true disciple of Jesus Christ because they're supposed to, nor because they have to. They become a true disciple of Jesus Christ because they want to. Let me conclude with a story that explains the difference. Pastor Rob Bell from Mars Church tells a great story. It's called Dutiful Roses, and it explains the difference wonderfully between duty and choice and what it means to have true love. It goes something like this. A man stopped on his way home from work to buy a beautiful bouquet of roses. And I think this story is so poignant because we're just coming off of Valentine's Day. So he buys this beautiful bouquet of roses, and he goes home, and he meets his wife at the door. And he walks in, and the roses are behind his back. He looks her in the eyes, and he whips out these flowers. Well, instantly, his wife's eyes brighten. She takes in her breath, and her eyebrows raise, and she's so excited to receive this gift. And she says, "Oh, honey, they're beautiful. Thank you so much." And the man looks her in the eye and says, "Well, it's my job." How does that leave you feeling? Probably like it left her feeling. See, the man did it out of duty. He gave roses because he was supposed to, or because he felt he had to. What if he had given roses because he chose to? You see the difference? Dutiful roses don't say, "I love you." A rose given because you choose to love someone. Well, that's true love. When God asks why you choose to serve, do you answer, "Well, it's my job"? When God asks you to give to others, or to take a Sabbath, or any other thing that God asks, do you do it because you're supposed to? Nobody in those circumstances is left with that warm feeling. That's not relationship, that's duty. No one feels loved in an exchange like that. But what if God asked why we served or came to worship or whatever it is that we do, and we said, "Because we love you"? What made the difference? We didn't have to love. We chose to love. It's our choices that will either create breathing room in our lives or it'll suffocate us. Will we have enough time to help others? Well, that depends on how we choose to schedule our time. Will we have enough money to help others? That depends, again, how we choose to budget our money. And when it comes to money, I'm not talking about total amounts of money. I'm just talking percentages. We all have different amounts that we can give. That's not the question. The question is, are we doing whatever we can with what we have? So, overall, keep choosing well, word serve. If we choose to honor God with our time and money, we'll all begin to see just how different life can be. Thanks again for all your work, leaders. You make it a pleasure to be a part of the WordServe team. Be blessed, and then be a blessing to others.